And it's rather startling the way the pastor speaks about the congregation, but be assured that Paul is wanting to help them and not just hurt them with his comments. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God, amen. Boy, I'll tell you, I sure miss my kids' early years. I mean, there's nothing like coming home and having your kids kind of restore your humanity. I mean, when you're used to treating yourself like a machine and trying to get everything done and just get it all done and do it well, it's nice when you pull up to the house and you see the fingers pulling back the little curtain. And it was so much fun pulling up to 2611 Evergreen Way and seeing I had a little party waiting to be thrown upon my arrival home. And it was so much fun. You know, children really are a blessing. I mean, you learn a lot of things. Some ways you want them to stay little, in some ways you want them to grow up, because, you know, it can be a complicated thing too, these stages of childhood. But it's always interesting. You know, it's like salvation when you no longer have to change diapers and they can get dressed by themselves. I mean, that's kind of cool. And then you see how they start learning how to do things, and they say things like, by myself. And they want to start becoming emancipated from you, and only to spill milk all over the table. Like, I wish I would have just held on to that one more time. But this emancipation process, as they get a little older, gets to be a little more challenging. You know, they say when a child is born, Tori, you know, the influence and the control scale, you know, influence is way down here. You can't say, well, Lily, fix something for yourself to eat, you know. You're going to have to take control of literally everything. But as they get into their teenage years, there's kind of a thing that happens between control and influence. The older they get, the less, what is it? Control anyone has on them, right? So you're hoping that there's enough influence so that they can, you know, live out their life. That emancipation, it can be pretty crazy, though. There can be a lot of rebellion and a lot of resistance. What's dad doing now? Why is mom saying this? I'm grown up. I can handle this on my own. Well, it's interesting to note that churches go through the same things. Paul talks about the Corinthian church in some less than complimentary ways. He is the father of the church. He got it started. It's kind of a crazy story. It's in the Acts of the Apostles where they showed up, got in trouble. The one representing the synagogue got in trouble, and then he and Paul got next door and started a Christian church. So Paul and others got this church started, and now he's been away, and he gets this note from someone about things that are going awry in Corinth, and so he's addressing them. It's a little awkward, to be sure. He calls them a congregation of baby Christians. They're infants in the Lord. Now, that can be a little stinging to hear the pastor calling a church a bunch of infants. Ouch! It's interesting, church consultants like George Bullard likes to actually explain a congregation in stages of life. A church is started, that's its infancy. As a church goes through infancy, you can imagine it goes through a lot of challenges and struggles to figure out who and what they are. And then they get into a place where they're understanding what they're about, and they start to grow and they get bigger. And then they get to this place where they become a mature congregation doing a lot of things. But then they start slowing down. It's not so easy. And some of the people that were very active start wanting to retire and slow down. And then they look back at the good old days of the congregation. And as that nostalgia wears off and they step off of the gas pedal, the church starts going into a period of decline and maybe even retirement. And then next thing you know, there aren't any children in the congregation anymore. And it starts accelerating, and it either gets to the point where they just want to have a pastor who will be a good chaplain, who will just do a good funeral service. But we certainly don't want a pastor at that stage to keep us mindful of things and trying to engage the mission and ministry field. And then finally the church dies or actually disintegrates. Now, the average life cycle of a church is like 80 to 85 years, but some churches go through it a lot faster. Well, guess what? We're at age 38. So happy birthday, St. Paul. Your birthday was February 14th, because in 1982, the charter of this church was signed. First church I've served has had a Valentine Day as a charter day. So happy birthday, St. Paul. How many more years do we have? God only knows. But it's certainly something worth celebrating that over the course of 38 years, we've been about mission and ministry, fed and under the care of Jesus in word and sacrament so that we can grow. And in truth, the church can grow up. But it's also true that the church can struggle with growing up. Some of the signs for immature Christian behavior or immature congregational activity include the things that Paul has in his epistle. And boy, the church in Corinth had a lot of problems. They played favorites with leadership. They struggled over jealousies. And they didn't want to follow God's will and ways. They didn't want to carry out God's word. They knew they were forgiven, so they thought they could do anything they want without any retribution from God. And Paul has to come alongside of them in his letter and say, "Time out. Time out. You guys are acting infantile." Now, if someone said that to you, those would be fighting words, huh? How dare you? How dare you? You know, that's another thing. There's a lot of immature Christian behavior these days regarding God's will and ways. There are some Christians that actually think they're better than others. They think they're holier than others. That's not a mature attitude. There are some people that think that just because they know all kinds of Bible passages, they're somehow more holy and better than others. Now, that's an infantile attitude. True Christian maturity is a realization that God's law points out clearly that I have fallen short, and yet I know I'm forgiven and loved for Jesus' sake and his sake alone. And that if I have any chance to be a good husband, father, brother, son, neighbor, pastor, friend, driver, neighbor, fisherman, whatever, I need God's grace so that I can be honest and helpful and kind and forgiving and willing to not give up when I'm being challenged inappropriately. That's the kind of husband my wife needs. That's the kind of dad my kid need. And frankly, I need those kinds of people around me too, because we're living in a culture where there's a lot of immature behavior and even whole churches that are rejecting God's ways are becoming more and more infantile in their identities, which is just absolutely sad. And they need people to help them understand God's will and way. what God's family looks like. I mean, that's really what it's about. You know, but the challenge with all of this is it's not about us. It's not about all the good things we can do, but it's about the one we can point people to. You see, people that are growing in their faith are learning more and more to just keep focused on the Lord across whatever they're doing. As a husband, as a father, as a son, as a brother, so forth, just keep looking at the Lord. As a mother, as a grandmother, as a sister, as a daughter. And that's where we need to hear the good news about all of this. So churches struggle with their growing pains. And you know, some churches actually go through this whole life cycle many times. They go through growth, and then they crash and burn, and then they do it again and crash and burn. But here's the sure thing for your life and my life. The church can grow up in Christ Jesus. So Paul writes to a congregation that is immature, that are infantile in the way that they are living out their life. They're not caring for each other. They're giving each other enough rope to hang themselves, and they are all falling. They're all falling spiritually to their own detriment. And yet Paul's not going to give up on them, because Paul's not trusting in them. Paul is trusting in the one that they are baptized into. Paul is trusting in the one who is the solid foundation of that congregation. And so last week we heard it, and I want to go back to it again today. Why can Paul have such confidence for a dysfunctional church like Corinth? How in the world can he do that? How can there be any hope for dysfunctional churches today and churches that are giving in and going along with the devil and the ways of the world? Because God is in the details too, and it's good news. Here's how Paul said it. I'd like us to read this all together. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge. I mean, look, even a mess like Corinth, when I first became a pastor, I would read these epistles, and I'd think, gosh, what a crazy congregation to be a part of. The crazy things they were doing. The longer I'm a pastor, the more I realize, boy, it's just nothing new. This is what churches struggle with. The good news is that God is in the details. The good news is that we can thank God too. I mean, look at what Paul does. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul was a missionary. When he shared the gospel, he was always amazed when a church was formed, when people were gathered around the good news of forgiveness. And boom, here's a brand new creation. It's a church. And it might be a mess, but it's still something to give thanks for. It's an old term. But when Paul established a beachhead, he was so thankful. And he's just thrilled that God established a church in Corinth. And so he's thanking God always for the people. I mean, when you're struggling with learning something, don't you need to have a teacher who's not going to give up on you, but keep teaching you and loving you and thanking God for you? That's what Paul was doing. Now, was there a place for him to in a sense, strike them, calling them infants? Absolutely. But it's for their own good, not to hurt them. Because this is his confidence, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge. So here's the deal. They got everything they needed in the download. But what were they failing to do? Click on it and open it up. They were still clicking on the old download, the flesh, that they've had since their infancy, since their conception. And so instead of clicking on their identity with Christ, they were clicking on their old identity and their sinful nature. And so Paul is saying, look, you got everything. They just needed to start to click on the right thing and open up the right stuff and then carry out the stuff that God would have them do. He goes on. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. They have received everything they need to be a church in Corinth. They have received every charismata, the gifts of the Spirit, to be who God would have them be. Again, they are not growing up because they're not using the right stuff that God has already given them. Paul says it this way. He says, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you milk and not solid food, for you are not ready. Even now you are not ready, for you are all still of the flesh. There is in every Christian a battle going on between our sinful nature that we've had all of our life and our new creation nature that we received in the waters of baptism or when we first heard the gospel and we were converted. There's been a battle going on inside of us. And when we keep clicking on our own sinful nature icon, we are jealous, we're angry, we're bitter, we want to fight and win, we just want to push our way around. But when we click on the icon about our new nature, we want to love and forgive and try to figure things out together and talk about stuff and be kind and compassionate and patient. And Paul is saying to them, I could not do this with you. Now that doesn't mean they weren't Christians. It's just they weren't drawing on the power they had been given by God. And so there was plenty of growing up in the Corinthian church long ago. You know, in your life and my life, there is growing as well. You know, there are places in my life where I see, gosh, that's just so pity. That's so infantile of you, Stace. And in this, you know, thinking, well, I got to work on that. And there are things in your life too where there is plenty of room to grow up. But that's okay. All of our life, as long as we live, we'll be growing up in the Lord. But here's the good news. Even where you're at right now in your relationship with the Lord, look at what Paul says. In the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to read this to you. Who will sustain you to the end? As far as Paul is concerned, it doesn't matter how messed up the congregation is. His confidence is that the Lord will take care of them. And the Lord will take care of you. And the Lord will take care of us. And how will he sustain you? Guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know this is a truth that is so hard for us to understand. The gospel, the good news that in Christ right now, you are before Almighty God, Heavenly Father, fully and freely forgiven and blameless and holy and perfect. Now, I know you look at yourself, you see a mess. But it's what Christ has done for you that has changed your identity. And this is what you can stand on and trust in because it's about what Christ will do in sustaining you no matter what you go through as you grow. You know, you are, how did Paul say it? You are God's field. You are God's building. God is at work in your life and my life, shaping us after his own heart. We are his project. It's interesting. In this same chapter, Paul goes on to say, take heed how you build. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So you're a masterpiece. God is at work shaping your life in all kinds of ways. And you're a miracle by God's own design. Paul's confidence is in what Christ will do for them. Paul goes on, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So God's faithfulness is what grows us up in our marriages, in our parenting, in our grandparenting, in our life with our neighbors, in our life as a congregation. And we will grow. You know, how long will St. Paul live? I don't know. But there's still more for us to grow up into and find out more about. And you know, even now, with all my kids entering into their 20s, I still get a kick out of my kids. I still have a fun with them. I mean, they can be kind of a challenge, but so can dear old dad. But I'll tell you what, it's just so much fun to see what we can do and learn and grow. And if we get a kick out of our kids and grandkids, how much more does God get a kick out of us who have been established in Jesus Christ? And for us as a congregation, how many years will we have There is something that I've shared a while back with a few of you. I wanted to share it with you today. It's all about age. You know, it's fun to talk with kids about age. You know, it's fun to hear I was 44. Not so fun to hear 65, but sometimes I feel like I'm about 95. But, you know, you're only as old as you feel. You know, in Christ, we're going to live together. But this is called On Aging, Enjoy the Ride. There is no return ticket. And the good news is Jesus has paid for our tickets to paradise. So we'll live forever in bodies that are free of pain and suffering and broken hands. I don't know, if you get a broken hand in heaven, will it bother you? I don't know. Or it'll heal right away. I don't know. I guess a lot of things we'll learn about. Do you realize that the only time in our lives when we like to get old is when we're kids? If you're less than 10 years old, you're so excited about aging that you think in fractions. How old are you? I'm 4 and a half. You never think 36 and a half. You're 4 and a half, going on 5. That's the key. You get into your teens, now they can't hold you back. You jump to the next number, or even a few ahead. How old are you? I'm going to be 16. Yeah, you could be 13, but hey, you're going to be 16. And then the greatest day of your life comes. You become 21. Even the words sound like a ceremony. You become 21, yes. But then you turn 30. Oh, what happened there? Makes you sound like bad milk. He turned. We had to throw him out. There's no fun now. You're just a sour dumpling. What's wrong? What's changed? You become 21, you turn 30, then you're pushing 40. Whoa, put on the brakes. It's all slipping away. Before you know it, you reach 50 and your dreams are gone. But wait, you make it to 60. You didn't think you would. So you become 21, turn 30, push 40, reach 50, make it to 60. You've built up so much speed that you hit 70. After that, it's day-by-day thing. You hit Wednesday, you get into your 80s, and every day is a complete cycle. You hit lunch, you turn 4:30, you reach bedtime. And it doesn't end there. Into the 90s, you start going backwards. I was just 92. Then a strange thing happens if you make it over 100. You become a little kid again. I'm 100 and a half. Well, dear St. Paul Lutheran Church, may you make it to a healthy 100 and a half. Happy birthday in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.